This is the Sunday before Halloween, and I'd like you to turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, that if you go to Matthew and turn left, that's three books over. You go Malachi, something, Haggai, and then Zechariah. That's right. Go to Matthew and turn left. Zechariah chapter 3. Halloween is coming up. This next week, Florida Pagan Gathering will meet at least 16 covens of witches from Polk County, Hillsborough County, and Pinellas County will meet. And they will celebrate being witches out in the woods. And it's interesting because we have a number of covens. We know there are Satanists in Polk County, but last year, actually last spring, two Satanists at Bartow Middle School took knives to school because they were going to kill fellow students and drink their blood. Don't tell me there are no Satanists in Polk County. And of course, I always have a witch, at least one witch in every class at Polk State, and now I have at least one witch in my classes at Winter Haven High School. So if you like variety, we got it, okay? And don't think this stuff is stuff that happens somewhere else. It happens here. There are at least two covens in Auburndale, and there's at least one coven in Lake Wales. So we're looking at sevens in the Bible, the heptadic structure of Scripture, and we're going to look at seven names of Satan because you are what you're named. Satan lives up to his names. And we're going to look at seven names in the Bible. Billy Graham said, "Do you believe in the devil?" He said, "Jesus talked about it. The whole Bible talks about it. I believe he exists, and I believe he tempts me every day of my life. He troubles me at every turn." That's right. And if it's not the devil, because he can only be in one place at a time, he has lots of helpers. John Walvoord in Major Bible Themes. "Many believe that Satan does not really exist, and the supposed person of Satan is no more than an evil principle or influence which is in man and in the world." An evil influence in the world. That's what my professors at the Baptist college I went to taught me. "Oh, it's just an evil influence in the world." Yeah, Jesus talked about the devil, but he knew they were ignorant, so he accommodated their ignorance. That's called the accommodation theory. What does Dr. Walvoord say? "This concept is proved to be wrong by the fact that there is the same abundant evidence that Satan is a person as there is that Jesus is a real person. Scripture, which alone is authoritative on these matters, treats one to be a person as much as the other. And if personality of Christ is accepted on the testimony of the Bible, the personality of Satan must be accepted on the same testimony." Clarence McCartney, the great Presbyterian preacher, he was pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. "Either Jesus himself was a great deceiver, or Satan is a real personal power in rebellion against God. He is the great tempter and enemy of people's souls." All right. So let's look at Zechariah chapter 3. The name Satan is mentioned three times in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in 1 Chronicles, where Satan tempted David to take a census. It's mentioned in the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2, where Satan appears before God and accuses Job and slanders Job. And Satan is mentioned in Zechariah chapter 3 in church, obstructing the worship service. Look at it. Zechariah 3:1, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest," that was a real high priest named Joshua, "standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now, Joshua represents the nation of Israel. He's a real high priest, but he represents the nation of Israel. Verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them that set a fair mitre hat upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. For they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. This is another name for Jesus. Jesus is the righteous branch. Now, a lot of things here, the high priest, Joshua, the branch, Jesus, the filthy garments of the high priest, the sins of the people of Israel, but God's going to cleanse that one day, okay? But what I want to talk about is Satan, Satan. In Arabic, it's Shaitan. Satan. Satan means enemy or adversary, one who fights against you. And it's a common word in the Old Testament. It says that Saul was the Satan of David. Saul was the adversary of David. It says that Hadad was the Satan of Solomon. Hadad was the enemy. Hadad the Edomite was the enemy of Solomon. He fought against him. It means enemy, opponent, adversary. But the proper name, the Satan, is a spirit being, the ruler of fallen spirits. We get the name Satan not from Satan. The Greek is Satanus. Satanus. And it's mentioned 31 times in the New Testament, along with the word devil. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of God's people. He is the enemy of the worship of God. He is the enemy of prayer. He is the enemy of God's people's service. He will fight it and block it every chance he gets. George Whitefield was the great Calvinist evangelist that started the Great Awakening in New England. George Whitefield, the great preacher. And he went to a town and he announced he was going to preach there. And a liberal minister said, I'm very sorry to hear you have come here, Mr. Whitefield. And George Whitefield said, sir, so is the devil. Okay. The devil has a branch office in a lot of churches, just like he was standing next to the high priest obstructing the worship service in Jerusalem. The devil has a branch office in every church. There was a movement called God is Dead back in the 1960s. Thomas J.J. Altheiser. Now, Friedrich Nietzsche, 100 years ago, Nietzsche died in 1900. Nietzsche said God is dead. He tells the parable of the madman in a book called Thus Spake Zarathustra. The parable of the madman, this crazy guy, walks around with a lantern in the daytime in the center of town. Okay, kind of like Demosthenes in Athens searching for an honest politician. Boy, you could do that today. He's got a lantern and it's lit and he's walking around town. He says, have you seen God? Have you seen God? Have you seen God? And of course he draws a crowd. And he says, have you seen God? God is dead. We killed God. And he didn't mean God was dead because God's not dead. What he meant was that the Europe that was founded on Christian principles, the Europe that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, they claimed to have a foundation of Christianity, but they weren't living with it. This is what we call practical atheism. You claim you believe in God, but you don't live like it. You know, you claim you're a Christian, live like hell. And that's what Nietzsche was talking about. Nietzsche was right. He said God was dead in Europe. That's 1900 when he died. Within 50 years, we had two world wars. Two-thirds of the governments in Europe were overthrown. Kings and queens were replaced by other governments. We went through genocides where millions of people were murdered. in the next 50 years. Yes, God was dead, and Satan did rule. Someone said, God isn't dead, but neither is the devil, and no, he's not. Satan, the adversary, the enemy, and he's still the enemy today, guys. Then the evil one, Hoponoros. Our Father which art in heaven, Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but the literal Greek reads, deliver us from the evil one. The evil one. Poneros means bad, wicked, evil, the preeminently evil one. John 10:10, the thief cometh for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Satan, the evil one, the devil, Diabolos. Now, Diabolos is an evil spirit. Oh, they have a devil, a Diabolos, a literal evil spiritual being. The book of Revelation says that when Satan rebelled in heaven, when Lucifer rebelled, we'll look at Lucifer in a minute, when Lucifer rebelled, as many as a third of the angels sided with him and were cast to the earth. Diabolos is used 33 times in the New Testament as the proper name for Satan, the devil, the main devil, the main evil spiritual being. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion roameth about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil was in the Garden of Eden. It says, you are of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. What beginning? In beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He was in the Garden of Eden lying. Lying to Eve, you shall be as gods. The devil majors in deception. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. He majors in deception. He has tricks or devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant of his tricks. We are not ignorant of his devices. And he also majors in discouragement. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap if ye faint not. The devil can discourage us. The devil can deceive us. Vance Havner said, Satan takes great delight in worrying believers who sigh when they should be singing. Who sigh when they should be singing. Oh, I don't know. What good does it do? I don't know. It doesn't help. I don't know. God doesn't answer prayer. I don't know. You know. Yeah. Deception, devices, discouragement. He is the devil. The leader of spirit beings. Viciously opposed to God. Viciously opposed to God's people, and viciously opposed to God's church. Wow. How many people aren't here today because, oh, it's the only day I get to sleep in. Oh, it's the only day I get to go to the lake. Oh, it's the only day I have to play golf. Only it's the only day I... And yet, all 7 days are a gift from God. Well, I work 5 or 6 days a week. Yeah, and you wouldn't have that job if it weren't for God. Why don't you take time in the morning to thank God for all the blessings you have instead of thinking just of yourself? The devil. Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 really outline the devil. Isaiah 14, 12. This is a reference initially to a king of Babylon, but it looks to the being behind the king of Babylon. Never forget that behind evil governments and behind evil people is an evil spiritual being. Never forget that. Isaiah's talking about the king of Babylon and how evil he is, but then he shifts in verse 12 to this evil spirit behind the king of Babylon. Yeah, some people want to talk about a shadow government in America. We've always had a shadow government in America. It's the devil's government. That's right. Look at Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, the devil had eye trouble. Look at this. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. The devil had a pride problem. I want this. I want that. I want to be higher than God. He was a created spirit being. He rebelled. He was power hungry. I want the power. I don't want to obey God. I want to do my own thing for me. He was perverse. He undermined what God was trying to do, and he still does. He still tries to undermine the legitimate work of God through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't win, but he tries. He plots. He schemes. He is predictable. If you're doing something for God, expect opposition. If you're doing something for God, expect roadblocks. If you're doing something for God, expect some hard times. Expect some criticism. Hey, no matter what you do, half of everybody's going to think you're wrong. Right? It's just human nature, guys. You know, for every person that will tell you, go for it, you can do it, there'll be two people that say, no, you can't do it. Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right. William Carey said, and I'm going to do a PowerPoint on William Carey. We got to do that for Family Mission Night sometime. The founder of the modern mission movement went to India in 1798. On his tombstone in Serampore, India, is his motto. Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. But Lucifer is power hungry, prideful, and he plots against God and God's people. So you have Satan, the evil one, the devil, Lucifer, John 8:44, the liar. You are of your father, the devil, for he was a liar from the beginning. Satan inspires people to lie. Helen Keller said one time, those that tell white lies soon go colorblind. Okay? It's better to tell the truth that, well, you don't have to remember all the lies you've told, right? Tell the truth and you'll always know the right answer. Lie and you have to remember all the different lies. Boy, Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. You know Ananias and Sapphira? They're the first church members that suffered from cirrhosis of the giver. Oh, we sold this property and here's all the money from it. Now, it would have been bad to keep back part of the money and share with God, but they claim to have given all the money when it wasn't all the money. And Peter calls them out for it. Acts 5:3, why how Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Acts 5:4, you have not lied to men, but unto God. Satan filled them to lie. He is a liar. P.T. Barnum, that had the circus, said, there's a sucker born every minute. But he also said something else. He said, American people want to be fooled, and I'm here to fool them. And he did, and made a lot of money at it. The devil is here to lie and to fool. Sometimes the devil starts a lie, and Christians believe it and spread it, and it turns into gossip. Satan starts the lie and Christians spread it. Someone needs to do a Bible study sometime on gossiping the gospel. Let's get on the phone and gossip the gospel for a while, you know? Wow. Different diseases break out in different places of the world, and they always end up here in Central Florida because the world comes to Disney. We had 125 million visitors last year to the state of Florida. They come from all over the world and they bring whatever disease they have in that part of the world to us. Remember, if there's an epidemic somewhere, the world comes to Disney. Be ready. Okay? In Mozambique, in East Africa, the Ebola virus kicks up every year and kills thousands of people. And they have in East Africa, they have a custom. Someone dies, they bury him, and after a couple of days, they dig him up and dance around with the dead body. It's called dancing with the dead. And Doctors for Borders, last month, there was a doctor that said, you shouldn't do that, and they killed him. You're interfering with our customs. And I would have said, okay, go ahead and die. You're that stupid. Dancing with the dead. What's going to happen? You're going to catch whatever killed that corpse. Dancing with the dead. But a lot of people do that. They dance with the devil. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He is a plotter. He is the evil one. And people dance with him just the same. Wow. Now, he's also called the dragon. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Really strange passage in Revelation. Dragon, the word drakon in Greek, dragon, serpent, sea monster. Revelation chapter 12, beginning of verse 1, I'm going to go through verse 9 here, 1 through 9. Revelation 12, 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and a moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pained to be delivered. And there appeared another great wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Who's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron? Jesus, Psalm 2. Okay? And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness. This is, I'll tell you later, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Well, the woman, you know, some people say, oh, the woman is the church. I'm sorry, but this woman's pregnant. The church is the virgin bride of Jesus. This is not the woman, this is the nation of Israel. The child is going to rule the nation with the rod of iron, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman gives birth to the child. Israel produced the Messiah, and the devil was there ready to devour the child. Wasn't it Herod that ordered all the children 2 years old and younger to be killed? And the devil is going to lose. The dragon, Satan, is going to lose. He is called the serpent. He is the enemy of God, and he is always fighting against the church and anything good the church tries to do. He has tried over and over again to destroy Jesus and the Jewish people. How do you keep the Messiah from being born? Well, you have the Persian king order all the Jews to be killed in the Persian Empire, but Esther saves them. How do you keep the Messiah from being born? Well, you have the 12 sons of Israel go down to Egypt where they're going to disband and die. But Moses leads them out. How are you going to keep the Messiah from being born? You're going to have the wicked people build a tower to heaven like Nimrod did with the Tower of Babel. And we will exalt ourselves above God. Sounds like Lucifer. Over and over again, there have been attempts to destroy the Jews so the Messiah would not be born. And here's the devil ready to destroy the child the woman gives birth to. The dragon, Satan, also means serpent, sea monster. He's called Satan, he's called the evil one, he's called the devil, he's called Lucifer, he's called a liar, he's called the dragon, and he's called the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, for in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. John 12:31, he's called the prince of this world. We sing a little children's song called, "He has the whole world in his hand, but he who, God?" The Bible says Satan is the prince of this world, and the majority of people follow him. He is the prince of the power of the air. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we need the whole armor. Because he is the prince of the power of the air. He works in the spirits of disobedience. He works in the rulers in high places. Jim Irwin was an astronaut. I had a chance to meet him a couple of times. Jim was the eighth man to walk on the moon. He'd been raised in church. He was a Christian, but he didn't go to church. He didn't practice his faith much. Jim went up one of the Apollo missions. He was the eighth man to walk on the moon. He said, "I read in the Bible where Satan was the prince of the power of the air." And he said, "I got above the atmosphere." He said, "I was orbiting the earth above the earth's atmosphere. And I could see the world clearly as God sees it. And I could see God more clearly because I was above the air and the prince of the power of the air. And God moved in my heart." The prince of the power of the air. Jim Irwin came back, resigned as an astronaut. And he became an evangelist. He laughs at that. He laughed at that while he was alive. He said, "They call me an evangelist." He says, "I don't preach." He had an organization called High Flight because he'd been an astronaut. He said, "I go around and share my testimony and people accept Christ as their Savior, but I don't preach. I'm not a preacher." He said, "I don't know why people call me an evangelist. I just tell people the experience I had with God when I was above the atmosphere, free from any demonic influences, and could see the earth and see God for what he really was." And he said, "This is my message to everybody today. It is more important to know that God walked on earth than that man walked on the moon. It is more important to know that God walked on earth than that man walked on the moon." And God blessed him and used him the rest of his life. It's tremendous. And Satan lives up to his name. He is the enemy. He is the devil. He is the evil one. But the chorus we sang that Dawn had us sing this morning, 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." They asked Martin Luther one time, they said, "Luther," and we'll talk about him next week because this is Reformation week this week. Luther said, "Yeah." He said, "The devil knocks on my door every day." They said, "What do you do?" He said, "I send Jesus to answer the door." Okay? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus, do you rebuke the devil in your life? In the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus, have you cleansed your house of evil influence and evil spirits? Have you walked the boundaries of your yard and prayed in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus that any demons and evil influence be removed from your property? When you come to church, do you pray that prayer? That any evil influence and any evil spirits be banished in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus from this building, from this property, from this worship service, from this Bible study. Do you do that? When you stay in a hotel room, and Lord knows, you know that old saying, Lord knows. Okay, the Southern saying, Lord knows. Okay, Lord knows what's going on in that hotel room through the decades. Every time you stay in a hotel room, do you cleanse it spiritually? In the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus, I ask that all evil influences and evil spirits be cast out of this room before I sleep in it tonight. Do you do that? Do you practice spiritual warfare? Because Satan is real, and all his little buddies are real, and they are powerful, and they are after us every day. Do you practice that so you can have a safer, deeper spiritual life? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil roameth about, seeking whom he may devour. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus, we ask that you would draw us closer to you, that you would put us under your arm of protection, put a hedge, a wall around us to protect us. We pray that you would encircle your angels around us to guard us against evil, and that, Father, you would direct our steps in righteousness and goodness. Father, we thank you for this day and this service, and we pray, Lord, that as we sing this hymn of dedication, if someone needs to make a decision, you would lead them to do it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.